It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on News Talk 1520 KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And if you are just joining us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, where we're all about taking charge of your life, really, and making it your best. I mean, there's just no reason in this wonderful world with all these things going on that you can't find joy in everything that you do.
I think it's really committing to making the effort to take the steps to move forward and to take charge of your life.
Definitely. So anyways, in our studio today, I've got Sharon Savidson, I've got Marsha Hively, I've got Roland Reef, and who is our acupuncture. We're going to start talking with him in just a little bit. He is a specialized acupuncture in using functional medicine. And, you know, right now we have Aurora Winter on, and we were talking to Aurora about grief relief in 30 minutes. And you know, there's so many things that we get grief from every single day, from the littlest of not getting a parking spot, you know, when you pull into the mall or you're pulling some. You know, we need to get through all that. And she's got some really great things that we were just talking about, simple tips to boost our happiness. And, you know, we talked a little bit about that, Aurora, in our last segment, but I'm going to have you email me those, and we could put them on my Facebook at Kim Pagano Show for my listeners.
Right. I think another key to boosting your own happiness, surprisingly, is helping other people. So when you help other people, it actually boosts your happiness. So look for those random acts of kindness that you can do. And that's one of the reasons I'm giving away the first 500 copies of my new book, Grief Relief in 30 Minutes. It boosts my own happiness.
I want to say,
that gift,
you know,
help others. So your listeners can visit griefreliefbook.com if they'd like to take advantage of that. But the one more thing I want to leave you with is we all have a choice to become better or to become bitter. My background is a film and television executive producer, and your life is a hero's journey. So a hero has a challenging journey. I mean, what makes a great movie? It's when the hero has lots of challenges, not when everything's all calm and peaceful. So it's not that having challenges is the problem, but it's how do you respond. The difference between a tragedy and a heroic drama is how the hero responds. So choose to respond to whatever challenges you face with your most heroic choice to become better, to help others, to make a difference, to rise to the challenge. Mm.
Just I want to say one thing about that is when you do things for others, do it unconditionally with no expectation.
Mm-hmm. No question.
So that you're not thinking, oh, I'm going to do this for somebody, but I want them to do it in return for me, because the universe has a way of coming back to you, and it may not be from where you give your energy to.
I love it. You know, I do want to give out our phone number right now, 805-419-0008. If you are interested in getting Aurora Winter's new book, Grief Relief in 30 Minutes, give me a call, and I will forward these over to Aurora, and we'll get you a book. So definitely, again, Grief Relief in 30 Minutes, 805-419-0008. Aurora, thank you so much again. Can't wait to read your book.
Oh, you're so very welcome, Kim. Thanks. It was a pleasure being on again. And thanks, everybody, for your great comments and input. It was a wonderful show. Thank you.
You got it. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Bye-bye now.
All right. So, gosh, Roland Reef, you have your studio in Thousand Oaks Natural Health Care Center. And I personally went in for a BIA, body
impedance.
Okay, impedance analyst, mm-hmm. understanding, right? And, you know, you gave me secrets that I would never even know. It's almost like a kind of a tune-up or a body tune-up, wouldn't you say?
Well, the BIA by itself, body impedance analysis, it gives you kind of a snapshot of what you're actually made out of, your body, such as, so say. We can't see your mind, per se, and we talked lots about the mind today. But it gives you a snapshot of what percentage water, what percentage muscle, what percentage fat, what percentage waste you carry around.
Right.
We do carry lots of waste. So it tells us a bit of a snapshot or gives us a baseline of who we are as a body.
And so what a perfect time at the new year.
It's always a good thing. First year, take a snapshot, especially right after the New Year's, to see what you are looking like after the New Year. Sometimes that doesn't look all that pleasing.
And
Sharon?
I think it's important to be able to measure your success. So I love that you start with a baseline.
Totally.
And then when you go out there and you do the work that you want to do, you can see how far you've come.
There you go.
Yeah, it's about improving or maintaining. Right. You know, if you're great, then let's maintain what's great. If you're not so, let's improve.
Why don't you explain to the listeners what that process is?
It's very simple. There are four electrodes. There are little pads which you stick on your hand and feet. And then there's a computer. And the more you pay for a computer, the faster it works. So it takes about 20 seconds. And it's basically electricity is pushed into the body and we see how fast it comes out. That's called impedance and resistance. And out of those two markers, you get about 12 positions, which is a computer, also which is calculated by the computer, and it tells you then how much fat or how much water is in your body. The other version we have is a dunk, you know, when they put you in a tank and find out how much fat you have.
Right, I did that too before.
Yes, great.
Yeah, I've done that also.
We all do that, right, in the gym and so on, which is a great information, but it only gives you how much fat you have. That's it. It doesn't tell you how much water you have in your cells or not, or how much muscles you have. It doesn't tell you that.
When you say how much water you have in your cells, why do we need water in our cells? That's something I learned when I went into you.
Exactly. We are born with 70% water inside the cell. Okay, that's why babies are plump. That's why you can basically drop them, they bounce back.
I wouldn't go that far.
But I mean, they're kind of wrapped up and, you know, they're all kind of cute and cuddly and they have no wrinkles. They are totally plump. Mm. As we age, the water leaves the cells.
And I'm going to go get water. My bottle of water right now,
With cosmetics, what are we trying to do with external moisturizer? We try to push water back into the cells so that we are looking more like a grape versus a raisin.
Roland, let's talk a little bit more about this, about how much water people should drink. And they say, you know, everyone needs to drink 8 glasses of water.
Yeah.
And one other thing, does it have to be pure water or can you use the water that's in your coffee? Is that
Well, coffee itself is actually a hit list, which it doesn't particularly count because it's a diuretic.
Green tea.
It dehydrates. Tea counts, soup counts, juices counts. But if we really want to be really technical, if it has a calorie, it's food. It's not water. So make the distinction between food and water. You should nourish your body with water. That means no calories. And we'll come back to that for a very important point I want to make today.
And if you're only drinking water when you're thirsty, you're dehydrated.
Well, yeah, you need to hydrate before you get thirsty. Like I do Bikram yoga, right? And maybe you guys know Bikram yoga, hot yoga, and you sweat like mad. And they always say, don't drink during Bikram. You cannot hydrate during exercise. You got to come hydrated, meaning your cells need to be filled with water. Right. And that happens about 2-3 days before you go to the mountain and get dehydrated or before you go and do yoga and so on. So drink before, days before, that means every day. Now back to that 64 ounces, that actually comes from a simple calculation. 50% of your body weight in ounces is what you need medically in water. So if you weigh 120 pounds, you need 60 ounces of water. And the 84 ounces is basically an average person of 160 pounds. That means he needs 80 ounces of water.
So half.
That's what it is.
I want to tell you. Correct?
It's half in ounces, exactly.
Right.
There was a story of someone that was taken to hospital. You'd probably know more. Too much water.
Yes. On the radio show, they had an advertisement and they made a competition of saying how much water. I mean, that was very stupid and asinine, actually.
This person wasn't in the competition. No.
She wasn't.
It was just a mom who wasn't eating enough and drinking too much water.
No, you can drink yourself to death.
Yeah. Drowning herself.
By all means. Your kidneys have to filter it out. And you go in kidney failure. You can drink yourself to death, just like you can eat yourself to death. I mean, water is healthy. Anything in excess becomes a bad thing.
Wow.
Okay.
For anybody that's just tuning in right now, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we're bringing you some amazing, passionate people. Roland Reif of Natural Health Care Center in Thousand Oaks. You are really passionate about what you do. How long have you been doing this?
Well, I've practiced medicine for over 30 years the way I'm doing, but also I evolve as I go. And that passion which you hear in my voice is really starting to understand. It all comes down to that one cell. We are a conglomerate of cells. If one cell is healthy, you can be healthy. If that one cell is not healthy, it's synonymous with you. So we can look at one cell and say, how healthy is that cell and what does that cell need? Because the cell by itself is a little organism who eats, who thinks, who has emotions, who poops, who it's like you. So anything which happens in the cell is what happens to you. So we look at the cellular health. When we talk about self, it's a collection of 100 trillion cells, and they all have to work in synchronicity. And that's where it comes in of how healthy we live. And like what we just said about anxiety, let's say, we get up in the morning, right? And that it was Aurora Winter who taught us a little bit about how not to grieve and so on and how to get over this. What is the first thought who comes to mind in the morning?
Oh.
What is your first thought? And you mentioned that, Kim, where you say, gosh, you know, lately I have some anxiety. I wake up with anxiety. An older gentleman, he was 94 or something, and he was still working. And I thought of him being pretty much of a mentor. And I said to him, what is your first thought in the morning? Because I thought I would get some wisdom, you know, like this Buddhist monk and so on. And he was a male. Don't forget, we have lots of female here. So he looked at me kind of bustled and he thought about it. And then he said, get up, go to work. And I said, no, Mr. Lido, that was his name. What is your first thought? I thought there would be more to it. And he became a little annoyed with me, and he looked at him and he said, get up and go to work. Meaning, don't spend time thinking of all the problems and so on. First, get up, get to work, think about it later. Or get up and meditate. But don't linger in bed contemplating all your negative thoughts.
Well, it kind of takes me back to whatever you set the intention for the day is what your day is going to give to you. It's the law of attraction.
Of course.
So if you start your day with gratitude and setting the intention for the kind of day that you would like to have.
Yes. Well, don't procrastinate. You know, in bed, we do that. We wake up, we procrastinate for 5 minutes. What are we doing in those 5 minutes? All your cells are listening, guaranteed. And if you program them that you have a difficult day, they will give you a difficult day all day long.
That's so interesting. I mean, really, it's like pop yourself out of bed. I think we had a guest on, I don't even know if that was something you said, but they pop themselves right out of bed every morning and get started.
You got to get up and get going. If that's get up to meditate, get up to work, but don't linger on and give your thought process, because we have all dark thoughts. We may not want to get up in the morning. If I get up in the morning, oh, it's Monday, oh, my God. You already wasted 3 minutes on bad thoughts. Your cells are listening and they're starting to shut down.
So what happens if you wake up? Like sometimes I wake up out of a really good dream and you're just like, oh, I just want to linger one more moment in that dream. Is it bad to linger in the good? Or should you always just pop yourself out?
Well, no, it's probably good to linger in the good. All good. I mean, if things are good, I normally stick around. You know, if things are happening, I stick around to the good.
I get hugs,
right?
From my dog. I start off my day every morning with my dog coming to cuddle and getting hugs.
Yeah, well, that's all great. So you program yourself with this love, and that's all great. But if you're lingering and thinking even the slightest negative thought, get up, go to work.
Don't the action itself can get you out of it.
Of course. Of
yeah,
course.
Or
absolutely.
Get up and walk, or get up and get up.
And, exactly.
And take your day on.
Because have you noticed when you sleep in, you know, and that's now that synchronicity again of the cells. The cells are waking up. Your brain is thinking negative thoughts and you stay in bed for that extra 1.5 hour or whatever. How is your day going?
So here's a question. You know, sometimes I'll wake up and it's 4 o'clock. I'll look at my phone. It's 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, oh, it's too early. But does that mean I'm done? My brain is done?
A hormonal shift, you asked that in the beginning of the show, you know, what's happening. A hormonal shift in the females makes them wake up a little earlier. Now, there's probably a happy early time. 4 o'clock is kind of marginal, I would think.
Yeah,
you know?
I would think.
But if you cannot go back to sleep, aren't you better getting up and read something versus lingering in bed, tossing and turning, and an hour later you're still not asleep?
And not only when you go back to sleep, you're worse tired. You're more tired than when you get, you know. So
although if you wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning, sometimes I wake up and I'll get up for half an hour. I'll do something, get it off my mind, go back, and I can go back right to sleep.
Correct. Same thing. Get up, get to work. If that's now, you know, solve that problem at 2 o'clock in the morning, but don't linger there. If it's not going to fall asleep within 20 minutes, you're not going to fall asleep. Get up.
Right. You know, Roland, what kind of patients do you see? Who is it that you would best fit coming to you?
Well, most people are drawn towards my clinic for chronic pain and chronic dysfunction. I'm kind of their last resort. That's what I get to hear quite a lot. You know, they tried allopathic medicine, they tried hospitals, they tried that, and maybe they failed or didn't succeed, and they end up at my doorstep. And it's normally at the end of their journey, and they come to me as a last resort. But it's chronic disorders.
Okay, and is it to learn how to eat better? Is it learn how to, what is it for?
Well, certainly eating is a big influence. Like we just said, either you get up in the morning or you sleep in. The other programming you do is by what you put into your mouth, you know, and obviously swallow. So whatever you eat is also programming you. What if you get up in time, that's the nature programs us. The sun gets up, our organism starts to wake up. So we should kind of be in nature with that. The other force which really instructs ourselves what to do is eating or not eating, and when to eat and how much to eat and why to eat at all.
So do you deal with nutrition?
I do deal with nutrition. I use natural hormones and use obviously nutrition, vitamins and minerals and so on in mega dosages or in homeopathic dosages. But the basic foundations of health is not to be found in your medicine cabinet. It's found in your fridge. It's found in your walking shoes. It's found in your thoughts. So if the basic structure of health is not present, it doesn't particularly matter what vitamins you swallow. You have to cover the basics. Get up and get to work. You got to cover the basics. That otherwise nothing works.
It's like putting a Band-Aid on a injury.
Well, yeah, of course.
It doesn't help unless you've
Well, I get this a lot.
Sewn up the cut.
Classic example with chronic pain, for example. People say, yeah, never had back pain before. Come in, they can hardly walk, right? So we treat their back pain, whatever the reason is. But ultimately, I want to know why they had a back pain. So we fix it. They come back 6 months later. They're broken again. Like classic example, mattresses. Mattresses are the main culprit for people's backaches. If you go to bed at night and you're fine, there's nothing hurting, and in the morning you get up and you're in pain, What did you do overnight? You just laid on this mattress who may or may not have supported you. So if you have a mattress who gives you pain, it's good business for me. Keep coming back every 6 months or buy a new mattress. But this has to be kind of a classic thing where I go buy a new mattress. I'm putting myself out of business, but they are then again for 8 years or whatever doing well.
You know, what comes to my mind is, you know, when you get a computer, if you're not computer illiterate, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you go up there and everything looks foreign to you. And you're like, this computer is not working.
You're right.
Really? Wait a minute. Maybe you need to learn how to read the computer. And so I think we've never learned how to read our bodies.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And I really think that's the whole bottom line. Do you teach people to learn about their bodies?
Absolutely, everybody. And that's why your question of what do I do? I mean, it always comes down to how we live, how we move, how we think, how we eat. And it's a fundamental question. Why do you suffer from that ailment? What is the cause? What is the trigger? In my training, I was always reminded to find the root of your ailment. Mm-hmm. And the root of your ailment has to be addressed.
You know, I just want to give out your phone number, 805-497-4074. That's 805-497-4074 to get in touch with Roland Reeve at Natural Health Care Center in Thousand Oaks. Mm-hmm. And I know you're going to give away a couple BIAs,
Love
right?
Love to.
Okay.
Exactly. Please call in.
So definitely give him a call or at that number, 805-497-4074, or you can call me at 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008 so that I can refer you over to Roland to get in. And should we take the first two?
Three. Let's go three.
The first three right now, at 805-419-0008. That's a BIA. That's a body impedance.
Body impedance?
Impedance.
That's complicated. That's body okay. impedance analysis.
Understanding your body, your the whole part of your body, right?
I will give him away 30 minutes of a consult after we have hooked him up to the machine, and I will interpret that for 30 minutes and give him some hints. It's sometimes more complicated, but I will give him 30 minutes of my time with the analysis in hand.
I'm telling you, you definitely want to do this. Even you ladies need to do this.
Oh,
you
I
find out
do
so
it.
Much yeah. about yourself.
Getting back to the being in touch with your body, you know what really bothers me is I see so many kids being hurt by the coaches, so many women that are hurt by the fitness instructors. They come away, you know, the instructors say to them, you need to not stop, you need to carry on, you need to push through. Mm-hmm. And they come away and they're really hurt because they don't know at what point they should be pushing beyond the pain and whether it's a good pain or a bad
pain. Very true, very true.
And so when I teach my classes, I'll say to the people that are taking my spin class, honor your body. You know how much exercise you've done. You know what your body feels like today. You need to be in touch. Are you hydrated? Do you have nutrition in your body? You know, you have to honor that right. so that you don't get hurt.
Want to add to that, you know, that's very well said, Sharon. Lots of people get injured in the gym being pushed too far. A muscle can respond very quickly. If you train a muscle, it will respond very quickly. Within 3 weeks, you will have that muscle. The joint, on the other hand, is not used to lifting heavier weights. It takes 3 to 6 months before that joint is ready to lift those 120 pounds. And so you want to go in 3 months increments. The first 3 months is for muscles, the next 3 months is for your ligaments, and then we start to push if you want to look like a chiseled body, and then we start to push heavier weights. But give it time. It's also longevity, isn't it? If you can't do it for more than a year, you might not want to do this intense exercise.
Right. That's why I think most people benefit from yoga, because yoga, first of all, a good yoga teacher will tell you go to your own
level.
But besides that, you are using your own body weight.
Yes.
And so, you know, you can push yourself by giving more of your own body weight.
A lot of people have been hurt by yoga, by doing
I personally have been hurt. I hurt myself at yoga.
Yes,
I want to say that. Yes,
too.
Absolutely. Where I overstretched. And it was just, I felt like a hero, and I thought, I can make a pretzel out of myself.
And people are naturally competitive. So that's where it comes in any exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. You know, Roland, I want to ask you, you talk about 7 golden rules for good health. Could you share those with us?
Yes. Well, first of all, a question to everybody in the studio and listening. How are your New Year's resolution going? You know, if they have to do with body, if they have to do with else, then. But how are they going? How did you set your goals high? Did you set them too low? Or did you go too far? I try to stay very basic. I don't go very far with my goals. And I remind myself of the 7 golden rules or the 7 magnificent rules which we should remember. And it's maybe redundant, but it's a very it has to do with. I'm going to give you the 7. First of all, we need to think right. That's like I said in the morning. We need to think right. Then we need to eat right. Then we need to drink right. Move right. That's that exercise. Talk right. You know, we might think right, but we don't talk right. So we talk negative and so on. We need to poop right. Hmm. Pooping means also urination right. And then we need to sleep right. So basically think right, eat right, drink right, move right, talk right, poop right, sleep right. And people have certain understanding about what right is, but we have an inert knowledge of what's right.
Okay, so I want to talk about, I know, poop. Okay,
poop.
Do people, is there a standard that most people should go to the bathroom a certain amount of
times
a day?
Great question. If you're born in India, and that's true, if you're born in India and you poop less than 3 times, they consider you sick.
Wow, really?
That's considered sick. They consider if you eat, you should go and poop. Now, your integumentum or your digestive apparatus is actually designed to poop every time you eat. Now, it works for the Indians. They have a little different food for that matter. If you are in India, guaranteed you will poop 3 times or more. So proof of the pudding in itself. But if you're born in America, that's the sad story. First of all, people don't know. And if I ask patients, and that's patients come in and I ask them about their elimination story, 50% of the people don't know if they had a bowel movement today. No, what? It's true. They don't.
That's crazy.
And it's very strange to me. It's like, no, you, at least once a day, if you don't poop once a day and hopefully always at the same time. It shouldn't be random, where like once you poop in the morning, once you poop in the middle of the night, of course you're going to actually forget if you pooped. But you should poop at least once, hopefully on a regular basis.
That reminds me that when my one of my children was small, he never would take the time to go to the bathroom. And then he almost injured himself because of it. I mean, I literally had to say to him, okay, at 8 o'clock, because that's the only time I really could control. Otherwise, he was at school or whatever. You're going to go in the bathroom. You're spending a half an hour in the bathroom until you poop. And to get him on a regular basis, because he had such a hard time, because he never wanted to miss out on anything.
Correct. I have one like that, too. But can you get yourself on a regular basis?
Of course. Well, females are being thrown off by their periods. You know, either they are constipated or they have looser bowels during their period. So it definitely throws them off a bit. Also, you know, females don't particularly honor their period as we should. And, you know, if you're exercising every day, well, I have a period. I'm still going to go to my step class and running my half marathon. Never mind if I've just double padded and I go out. That's not what we really should do, is it? If you're bleeding, you should probably honor that and not particularly use your muscles, overburden it. You should maybe stretch, go for a leisure walk and so on. Otherwise, it will affect your bowel movement, of course.
Wow. So,
but going back to regular, yes. In Chinese medicine, each organ has 2 hours a day. And there's 12 organs, there's 24 hours. So the activity of the bowel movements, generally speaking, and that's now men and women, in the morning time between 5 and 7 is when the energy is in the large intestine. That's the most easy time to make a person eliminate. Now, we want to take time for that, and that's, again, get up and go to work, right? Or my get up and go to poop. A man, generally speaking, goes, yeah, I get up in the morning and I poop. Like clockwork. Women know that, right? They say, oh, yeah, my husband, he does it always. And me, I don't know if I did it today or not. But yes, you can certainly train yourself that way. A, it's intention. And if you eat enough fiber at night, you should have a bowel movement in the morning.
So give us examples of fiber. What could we eat in order to do that?
The easiest way, and the old forgotten fiber, is the apple. Apple has pectin. It's a soluble fiber that's called pectin. Now, where is the pectin? And that's another thing. We should eat the core of the apple, including seeds, if you're not too hung up about seeds. Something about seeds. People are afraid of eating seeds.
They just don't taste very good.
Okay, yes. But if that's
swallow
the reason, that's all good. Fine.
Don't chew them. Swallow them whole.
Yeah, you can swallow them.
It's hard to avoid them when you're eating. trying to chew your food.
But the main thing is that
they have arsenic in it, right?
Not the apple seeds, but actually the peach seeds. Okay. There is a little arsenic in it, like in almonds, and that's then that blue,
right.
Yes.
Which
so
is actually...
Bitter almonds.
Well,
minimal amount, not a bad thing. It's a bitter substance, very bitter substance. Bitter substances are really beneficial for us. That's why we taste them so well. The body, going back to those 100 trillion cells, they recognize taste. Do you know that they actually do? And since we talk about elimination, by the way, do you know that you have more taste buds in your intestines than on your tongue?
Really?
So that makes you really ask, well, who is really tasting the food, isn't it? It's actually your intestines have far more taste buds than your tongue.
Wow.
So who are you actually feeding? Now, granted, the best taste for health is bitter. And we all try to avoid bitter. Might that be endive? Might that be blue cabbage? Might that be the seeds from the peach? Bitter substances like kale, very healthy. Those intestines, those taste buds in the intestines respond to that very well.
What's blue cabbage?
Blue cabbage is actually bitter.
It's purple.
It's considered purple.
Purple cabbage.
Well, blue purple.
So when I hear this from my husband, and I used to take it kind of as an offense, right?
Mm.
I'd say, honey, is that good? And he goes, yeah, it will make a good poop. You know, that's really, you know.
Instinctively, that's true.
It is true.
Okay, I got to ask you something. So first of the year, I gave up sugar, and I do this every year because holidays are so crazy. And until the Easter, I give up sugar completely. And I'll tell you, after 2 weeks, my food tastes so much better.
There you go.
I mean, sugar from the natural apple tastes so much better in the apple than in sugar.
Yes, yes. Well, because we overload ourselves over holidays with sugar, with that, also with artificial or with white sugar. And, you know, if you eat a carrot, we'll do that once. You know, the carrot has a core inside. There's a little other carrot in there. As kids, we would use, I grew up on a farm.
We would chew it all around.
Exactly. Yeah. We would chew it all around and then we would eat the inner carrot because that's where the sweetness is, right?
Right.
These days, try a carrot. It doesn't taste sweet.
It doesn't at all.
Unless you buy carrots with stems on them, then you know they're probably organically grown and they taste so much better.
Well, that's one. But also, we wore out our taste buds in our mouth with all the sugary stuff. If you start off with a sweet breakfast and you have a sweet drink at lunch and then you eat a carrot at mid-afternoon, well, it's not going to taste any sweet. Just like you said, after 2 weeks not eating sugar, suddenly apple tastes sweet, isn't it?
Yeah. Different.
Much better.
Okay, so when to eat?
When to eat. And we just talked about this get up, get to work. Your body is waking up in the morning. If you wake up or not, your body wants to wake up because it is regulated by day, night, by the light. And so your retina receives the light unless you're totally in a black dark room. So your organism starts to wake up. Now, if you're not feeding your organism right then, what calories or what energy is it consuming? It starts to actually break down your muscle mass right off the bat to feed your brain, to feed your other muscles, to make you tick, sing, and dance. So breakfast is your most important meal. Get up, get to work, eat something. Now, quantity, it doesn't, you know, ladies, they don't want to eat till 10, 11 o'clock. And I said, it doesn't matter about how much. You don't have to have a whole omelet and a spinach omelet with some, you know, lots of meals and so on. Eat something to fuel the metabolism. When we say metabolism, look at the metabolism as a fire. Stoke the fire in the morning.
So my main... Okay, I'm going to ask you, and I'm putting myself on whatever. I eat Greek yogurt with a tablespoon of almonds or pecans and a tablespoon of...
honey.
No, I don't like honey. Well, I do, but not for that.
Marmalade?
Grape nuts. So it gives you some crunch, and then blueberries or strawberries or whatever fruit I have. But it seems to give me a lot of energy without weighing me down.
Great. It's what you just said. Well, the yogurt has protein and fat. There's some sugar in there, not that much. And then you add more protein and you add more fat with the nuts and the almonds and so on. So avoid sugar. And generally, we want to avoid sugar at all cost.
I'm talking about the unflavored.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. I'm just saying you're doing great, actually. Some Greek yogurt have that marmalade on the bottom. Now you're changing the ratio. The ratio should be always as little sugar as you can. And we talk sugar. I'm not talking about complex carbohydrate. That would be the oatmeal. You know, if you eat oatmeal and you add a heap load of brown sugar with it, and then you have some blueberries and strawberries and some melon and an orange juice, well, you just threw that whole balance into the sugar. Okay. If you start off with sugar, most likely you want to finish with sugar. So don't start with sugar, first of all. The most important meal is breakfast because you're stoking your metabolism. Then keep the metabolism going midday, still mid-afternoon, and then really slow down. And here's for this talk as such, my pet peeve for this year, and science all agrees, unless an organism fasts overnight between 10 and 12 hours, you will not burn fat. Because people wake up in the morning and say, I gained 2 pounds. You know, how did that possibly happen? You gain weight overnight or you lose weight overnight. And that's why you can get up and you're heavier if you did the wrong thing. The body needs to download all the food you ate during the day for 10 to 12 hours overnight. So if you break, let's say you have 6 o'clock dinner and then you have another snack at 9:30 and then before bed, you have even just a little something. If it has calories, it starts again that metabolism and it starts again the storage and you are not burning your calories of the day. So if you want to lose weight, which we all try to
That's the big
secret of the world. First of all, you don't need to feed your whole body. We meant that last time. We only about 30 to 40% of you is alive. So don't feed the whole body. You only eat about 30 to 40%. But when should we eat? Breakfast is most important. That's why we say eat like a king for breakfast. Lunch is important. Eat like a businessman at lunch. And then dinner, yes, we want to eat, but eat like a beggar.
A beggar.
Like a beggar, or yes.
Yeah.
So eat less and eat early dinner and stop all calories for 10 to 12 hours overnight. It's called a fast overnight. That's why we break the fast in the morning. But those 10 to 12 hours, 4 to 5 times a week, you will lose weight.
Now, if you, okay, so what I've been doing at night, if I'm hungry, I'll drink herbal tea. Is that going to be a problem?
Unless you put sugar in it, it's no problem.
No, I don't put sugar in it.
No problem. You know, when you said you're hungry, right? It takes the body 5 to 6 hours before it says, wow, I'm hungry. I need some calories. The liver is switching metabolism to burning fat and cholesterol overnight so it can feed and maintain the organism. But if you break that with even a cookie at 11 o'clock, the liver stops the burning of fat and you actually gain weight. So when you are hungry, that's actually a great thing. Now, most people, you sleep certainly better when you're a little hungry versus when you're a little stuffed.
This
right?
is true, yes.
Very much
but
so.
I can wake right? up in the middle of the night and feel hungry.
If you go really low on carbohydrates, and that's complex carbohydrates, might that be a pear or might that be an apple or might that be some grains? If you're really low in carbohydrates, you do get hungry too quickly. Okay, so because we are all these carb phobes, you know, when they say, oh, don't eat any carbs. Well, there's carbs and carbs. If it's a white carb, it's normally not a good carb. Just give up all the white food.
Right.
Simple.
That's a big thing that right? a lot of people say nowadays.
Of course, because yeah. it's a white, it's normally a simple carbohydrate like sugar
right.
white flour products, cookies, cakes, pretzels, all that stuff. And that's the easiest thing. Oh, I'm going to have a pretzel at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, that's the wrong thing. Now you just broke that fast already and you start again that cycle of 5 hours before you start to burn fat. So it takes 5 to 6 hours before the body says, oh, I need to burn some fat to maintain myself. All those 100 trillion cells have to eat, remember? Not much because they're asleep, but they still need some. So 5-6 hours before they go, oh, I'm going to burn some fat. And then add 5 to 6 hours where they burn the stored calories. That's when you can wake up and eat way less than way more.
So interesting. I mean, really, it's very simple. It seems like a very simple
Correct.
But a lot of people... it's a constant battle.
Well, there's so much conflicting information out there. And so you kind of go, okay, well, it's so overwhelming. I think that's how people feel. What are the few things that we can do instead of changing everything?
Always keep it simple. You know, if you don't cover the 7 basics, you know, like we said, eat right, sleep right, poop right, all that. If those are not covered, make sure you cover those. And everything else is extra, really. Because if you move right, if you eat right, your organism will respond to that. And don't, you know, we came from this where we graze all day long. And that's a good thing. But grazing should be over when the sun is down, you know? right?
There you go. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Unfortunately, I think as Americans, we are taught that dinner is our largest meal of the day.
Yes, I think we are.
You know, what is a reasonable dinner?
Leftovers. Well, you know, a short story. A patient came in. He was about 240 pounds male. And I told him all the things I just told you. And I was making it short. And also short. I talked fast and furious. And he disappeared. I didn't see him. I thought I must have made him mad or something. Or he wasn't happy. He came back about 4 months later. He lost 50 pounds. I go, oh, my God. How did you do that? He said, I did exactly what you told me. I said, oh, what did I tell him? You know, I didn't remember, right? And he said, I did exactly what you told me. And I said, eat dinner like it's breakfast and eat breakfast like it's dinner. So what he's had his wife cook the dinner and save it for breakfast. He actually did that. That's what he heard I said. I didn't tell him that, but that's exactly what he heard he said. I said, I didn't tell you, but you did the right thing. So he saved breakfast. He saved dinner and ate it for breakfast and ate his breakfast for dinner.
I love
it. Well, and sometimes just changing your plate size can help you.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
At night, if you use the small
sure.
plate and, you know,
but
breakfast,
you know,
use the bigger plate.
Going out and having a salad and having an entree and having the main course, that should be at least lunch. I don't want to eat my dinner for breakfast. I get that. But my breakfast consists normally some avocado, some turkey, some. It can be also bacon, an egg, and rotate those. But dinner should be a light meal. We come to understand it's not that important what you eat, but it's more important when and how much you eat.
Right. Roland, give out your phone number again so everybody can get in touch with you.
My phone number is 805-497-4074.
And again, we're talking with Roland Reef Natural Health Care Center in Thousand Oaks on Thousand Oaks Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
And I urge you to give him a call. If you just not feeling your 100%, he can get you there. And I truly use him. I recommend him. And, give me a call at 805-419-0008 to get your name in for a analysis with him on your body. Your body will tell you everything. It's all inside. So, let's move over to Sharon about getting our visions together.
We've only got about
a little bit of our show left, but stay with us. You're listening to the
Kim Pagano
Show. I'm
going to give you a few tips on how to really have your most spectacular year. And even though, you know, we speak about the vision board and we talk about setting your goals, let's bump that up to another level of really just saying, how can you make this your very best year ever? What do you need to do? So here are some steps that you can take. And, you know, we all want to feel good, okay? And there are certain things that we do that release those feel-good hormones into our bodies. I mean, that's what we want, right? The endorphins and the dopamine and everything into our body. So here are four things that go beyond just going, you know, I want that car, I want that house. Bringing novelty into our lives, okay? Doing something that makes us happy. So we were speaking last week about going on a date with your husband or doing things like going on that vacation, not waiting for the time to be right in order for you to bring that happiness into your life, but to create the situation for you to feel that happiness so that you can have that better life, right?
Yes, get up
so
and create
what are the
happiness.
Things that you guys do? What do you do that brings novelty into your life?
Gosh, accomplishments, right?
Well, accomplishments is going to come at the next level, but doing actual things.
Having a date with my husband.
Right.
Going out and doing something fun. You know, we haven't gone to a movie in a long time, mm-hmm. and we went to a great movie. That, you
right.
know, yeah.
And how do you feel about that?
We had a great time. And he had a great time. I had a great time.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring up the movie because we do the vision board, but we also do the perfect life movie. And there's something about the movement of seeing the visual that actually creates the emotions in your body. So for those of you that are out there that are computer savvy, do your vision board on your phone or your computer and have the music and the visuals and the effects that fade in and out and the positive affirmations so that you can have it on your phone. You can take it with you and then, you know, take a look at it for 2 to 3 minutes every day. That'll really enhance you bringing and attracting what you want into your life. Okay, so the second thing is how do you show up, how do you express your creativity? What is it about you that's unique to you that you can go out there and express yourself creatively?
So now, what do you bring to the table is what you're saying?
What do you bring to the table? You know, Marsha, you've got your flowers and your jewelry. And
I was just going to say that's what I do. I create something. Whatever it is, you know, I may reupholster a couch or I may make jewelry or I may do flower. I'm a very visual person. So if I'm stuck in a rut or whatever, I just go make something.
But Roland, what does that look like for you?
I do creatively. I paint and I sculpt, but I paint and I do process painting. So meaning I don't paint for the painting to be finished.
Right.
I keep painting over and over it. I know it's under there and it's never going to hang up anywhere. Nobody's going to see it. I paint for the painting's sake.
For the process. I like
that. For the process. Process painting.
Ah.
Well, you know, let me just say something about that because I'm an artist. And when I stopped trying to paint the perfect painting, I produced this painting when I just handed it over. I actually sold it for quite a bit of money. So it turned out to be one of the best paintings that I had
done. And it's interesting. I made tiles when my kids were little in our kitchen, almost placemats that were in there. And I would go in every week to the pottery or, you know, every 3 days. And they would be like, oh, that's not perfect. This isn't perfect. And they said, stop trying to be so perfect. Just enjoy the ride.
Enjoy
and it was amazing. They were in my kitchen, and I got so many compliments
on
them.
It is singing, really. It can be dancing. Yeah. You don't have to be good at it. It just releases that dopamine. It just makes you feel good.
But I love the process. I like that.
Well, and I am a terrible singer. I'll admit that I'm terrible, but I love to sing. So if no one's home and I feel like I just turn the music up and sing my heart out.
You know, and that's expressing yourself just for who you are. It doesn't matter if you're good at it. It's just being who you are. Okay, so the next thing is, how are you going to challenge yourself? What are you going to do? And this doesn't mean setting a goal to lose 10 pounds or to reduce by 10 pounds or setting a goal to do whatever. It's really going, and what are you going to do that's going to improve you? What are you going to go and learn? How are you going to challenge? So, you know, I've done a lot of things on the computer and really just sat doing it by myself, putting up my website by myself and working at it. And I've loved, it's been challenging, but I really felt a sense of accomplishment. And that brings us happiness and joy. So decide what you're going to do.
For me, one of the challenges, or what I challenge me frequently, frequently, getting up and go, I'm being redundant, get up and go, but get up earlier than usual, see sunset once in a while, sunrise for a while. You know, might that be go for a hike or just sit yourself on the beach or I like to be active, and I see, when I go to work early mornings, I see those surfers out there. And every morning I see them surfers out there and I go, gosh, I got to go to work, they're out there. Now Saturday comes around, I can be out there at 6:30, and that's a challenge I take and say, I'm going to be one of those. No, I don't surf very well, but that's besides the point. I want to be out there earlier than usual, you know, and challenge myself to set a goal and say, tomorrow morning I get up at 6 and I'll be there out there at the ocean at 6:30.
You know, Roland, how many hours do we really need for sleep?
Well, generally we know that we need about 8 hours. Some women need more. It's probably everybody sleeps not enough.
Oh, so you think, really?
I sleep, and here's the other things. We sleep at the wrong time. If you go to bed after midnight, it's half as valuable. So if you go before midnight, the hours before midnight counts double.
Really?
The hours after midnight count half. If you go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can sleep all the way till 12 o'clock. You're still tired, even though you had 10 hours. If you go to bed at 9 o'clock and you get up, let's say, at 4 o'clock, that's 7 hours, you feel alive.
Can you catch up sleep?
Apparently not. I can, but apparently not.
Yeah.
They say you can't make up the sleep that you've lost.
Within 24 hours, you might. You know, when you said, okay, I'm really tired. And patient says that. I'm going, I'm so tired. I'm coming for energy. I said, go to bed earlier tonight. You know, can you catch up? But no, but you can certainly catch up in 24 hours.
Do you know, I am one of those that go to bed a little bit earlier, my husband, because we wake up early. So
What time do you wake up? 4 o'clock.
Yes. I mean, and
you're up from 4?
Well, you know, I mean, maybe I'll wake up at 5:30 or 6.
My alarm clock doesn't have 4 o'clock on it.
You know, it's weird because mine has to do with the light. I could never live in, you know, Greenland or something. I am definitely energized by the light. So the longer days, I can use less sleep. But, you know.
And that's true. Wintertime, we need more sleep because it's dark earlier. 4:30, 5 o'clock, it's dark. The light signals our body to shut down.
Yes.
It does start to shut down. And what do? We eat some sugar or have some caffeine so we can last another 6 hours. Wrong-o. Not the right move.
So if you're getting that dip around 3 o'clock and I'm like, oh, I need a cup of coffee.
Well, how else could we stimulate that metabolism? Do some jumping jacks, do some kicks up, or do some singing. Stimulate that metabolism. Remember, the metabolism is fire. If you need to stoke the fire and you don't want to put on more wood, you fan it. You get even more oxygen, so it burns more. So sing for 10 minutes or even 5. Jump up and down and it kicks in your metabolism. There's plenty of energy stored.
Oh, that's interesting. So instead of waking up going for your walk in the morning, if you took it at 3 o'clock when you
were
having
your low,
that would actually...
Yes. Most people are more creative in the morning if they get up early, right? They get things done and they do paperwork and write their speeches and so on, right?
Right.
Some other guys, they want to get up and run. I personally don't. I rather do it in the afternoon, exactly for that, so that I revive my metabolism, so I have this energy. I don't need a coffee. I need to go get my butt in gear to tell my body to burn some extra calories.
Makes so much sense to me.
Well, and what are you going to do in order to motivate yourself to do that? So what does the push need to be? Look at the lifestyle that you want. Look at what do you want to accomplish and what the end result is, and then that'll motivate you to say, okay, when I'm feeling like that, this is what I'm going to go and do.
Correct.
I love it. To really set the intention.
For anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking about life here. I know you have another.
I have one more thing to say. You have to make the connection with people. Go out there and find ways to make 1 to 5 new lifelong friends and connections, because that motivates you. That brings in all of the things. And you're, in fact, when you do that, you're actually tapping into all of the other things. You have to show up authentically when you meet somebody new. You know, you're showing up creatively. You're doing something novel. You're going out and finding a new connection. And you're challenging yourself maybe to step out of your comfort zone to find a level of trust or connecting or whatever it is. And you've made a lifelong friend. So go and do these things. Add that to your list for the new year.
I love that. And, you know, that's one of the things that I love, searching for new people that, you know, when you meet somebody that they get you excited about life, that's the kind of people I want in my life. And you don't want the people that drain you, that, you know, emotionally just suck you dry. So I think it's really important to look at the people that you're hanging out with, the people that you're working with, the people that, you know, are entering your life every single day. I mean, do you find people that are emotionally drained, that maybe their body, there's nothing wrong with their body, they're just in a terrible place with their life, or, you know?
Sure, we call them emotional vampires.
They
will suck your energy, of course. Sure, not knowingly, also they most likely don't know about it, but they can leave you fairly empty. You know, it's your choice to recognize that, not be one.
Let's talk about that very quickly, because I'm going to give you a tip.
Please.
To protect yourself, especially if you're somebody that works with other people. You know, energy healers know this. Wrap yourself in a bubble of white light. That way you protect your energy field from people that actually want to tap into you and pull out your energy. You know, and at the end of the day, just imagine that you're releasing anybody else's negative energy so that you keep your energy field clear.
And what if it's family?
It doesn't matter who it is. It could be your children. I mean, literally, you always want to keep your... I'm not saying don't give of yourself.
Of course.
I'm just saying that energetically, somebody, you don't want people to tap in and to drain your energy. Have you never walked into a room or felt, oh my goodness, I feel so drained and I don't know why?
Yes.
It's because people want something from you and they'll take it.
Sure. Right. Sure. And I think the biggest thing is, and you talk about this all the time, is ask for what you need.
Absolutely.
And talk a little bit about that.
We expect our spouse or people to know what it is that we want telepathically. But how often I'll say to someone, have you asked them how they feel or if they'll do it for you? And they go, no, I never thought of that. Remember something. You can ask somebody for what you need. They may or may not be able to give it to you. But at least you'll know, you won't have the expectation that somebody needs to be giving something to you when in actual fact they may not be capable of giving you what you need.
And on the other side of that, the one thing I have really learned from you is people don't take things from you. You give them to it.
Absolutely.
You give that to them. And so if you don't want to give that part of yourself away, then don't. Because, you know, you're only responsible for yourself. It's not about you.
Boundaries.
That they're asking.
I think you're talking about boundaries, right? Sharon, give out your phone number if anybody wants to call you. And I know, are you going to give away a 30-minute consultation?
Coaching, yes.
Yes. Okay, so let's do that right now. We'll give away three. Everybody's number three today at 805-419-0008. Leave your name and number at 805-419-0008 for Sharon Savitson. We can do it over the phone. You can Skype with them. I mean, it's amazing. She does
number,
an amazing job.
Give it 818-744-5859. And the callers to give the for the giveaway are going to call into Kim's number.
There you go. I love it. Again, Roland, give out your phone number again one time.
The number for the Natural Healthcare Center in Thousand Oaks is 805-497-4074.
All right. I do want to announce one thing really quick. We have the Center for Special Needs, and it's the Bridging Gaps for the Special Needs Children. They are going to be having the ABCs and the XYZs of Special Needs. It's their first annual conference, and it's Saturday, March 2nd, and that is over at Westlake Village from 8:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and the phone number to get for that is you can talk to Rainbow Connection, and that's 805-485-9643. If you have any special needs as parents, as children, definitely you do want to go to that. One, I want to say thank you so much for being a part of my show today. And every Saturday from 2 to 4 here on AM 1520 KVTA, we add tips and tools to your bags. And that's really what it's about. We all need tools to get through our lives. And I'm learning as you are out there. So with that, I'm Kim Pagano. You've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. And of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment. And today's is sometimes things show up with amazing timing. And open your arms and your heart for all that. So with that, I hope that you have an amazing weekend. And again, if you've missed any part of my show, you can listen on kimpaganoshow.com, and my shows are downloaded there. Also, become a friend. I love all the friends that have Facebooked me on Kim Pagano's show. Again, if you would like to be a part of my show, you can email me at kim@kimpagano, that's PAGANO.com, and kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Again, or call me at 805-419-0008. I'll talk to you next week. Have a wonderful day. Listen, baby.